Hello and welcome to the My Abnormal Life podcast, episode 1. In this episode, I'll be introducing myself, telling you what I'm about, and what I hope to accomplish with this podcast. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the show. Well, welcome one, welcome all. My name is Brock Baldwin. This is my first time putting myself out there and broadcasting or streaming in any capacity as far as podcasting goes. It's been something that I've been wanting to do for about a year now after my wife has introduced me to some influencers and how they've been able to impact their tribe and their audience and use their scope of influence to create positivity and put some insight to some subjects that a lot of people aren't necessarily comfortable talking about or being vulnerable. I've been back and forth with it and talked myself out of it more times than I care to admit, so bear with me as I'm sitting in my living room recording this on my cell phone, which is absolutely insane to imagine that, you know, we're in a day and age that you can put yourself out there to the world with one tap of a button and post your podcast to basically every single platform that you can imagine. So let's express our gratitude that I'm actually able to do this. I used to think that I needed, you know, MIDI and ported audio and pop filters and a fancy compressor mic to even be able to do this. So it's awesome to be able to record this just off of my cell phone. So without rambling on a little bit too much, I'm 26 years old. I'm living in Grand Forks, North Dakota right now. Me and my wife, well, I moved here about a year ago, through a job that I no longer work at. To give some context, me and my wife live here. She's lived here now for about 3 months or so. She's an athletic trainer with a company called Altrue. I'm currently a car salesman with a company called ID Motors. Basically, what I've been really wanting to do is impact people, use my scope of influence to build something, great. I've had a tugging at my heart to impact people in a positive way, and it hasn't always been that way. I grew up in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Spent most of my early childhood until I was about 7 years old. My parents split, and me and my dad moved down to the States. He was originally born in Norman, Oklahoma. So we moved back down around to the Tulsa, Oklahoma area, if you're familiar with that area. It was a small town called Haskell, about 30 miles, I believe it was south. It's kind of hard to remember. I was, you know, 7, 8 years old, driving down from Canada, everything that I'd known, being unfamiliar with America in general and having to relearn. All I knew was Celsius and having to switch over to Fahrenheit and centimeters and all those units of measurement, being so confused as to why it wasn't the same as it is in Canada. And I still am, to be completely honest with you. Moving on, lived in Oklahoma for about 4 years. Up until, what was it, about sixth grade. A lot of my family was centralizing to the Bismarck, North Dakota area, so I've been living in the Midwest for most of my life. I'd say half has been spent in the Midwest area and region, and a couple of years here and there in Oklahoma, and as I said before, I grew up in Calgary. So I've had a lot of worldly experiences, at least in the North America region. I haven't ever been overseas to Europe or anything, but I'd like to get into some more traveling. But I spent, you know, my junior high years, my high school years in Bismarck, North Dakota, where I kind of built my foundation and started growing up, learning who I was, who I wasn't, what I liked, what I didn't like, and I was a terrible student in high school. I actually didn't end up graduating high school through traditional manners. I ended up getting my GED after attempting to go back for what would have been my junior year. I went back for the second semester, and after being overwhelmed by how far I was behind on credits, I dropped out. And over the summertime, I'd made a promise to myself and my parents that I'd kind of pay myself back and catch back up with the credits that I'd missed. So I took some summer classes online, and while I did complete and catch back up a little bit, still felt a little bit overwhelmed with the fact that I'd probably be what's referred to as a super senior, and that definitely does not come with a cape at all. Spending another year past what you were, trajected to spend in completing high school, which was a very humbling moment in my life. I had never expected to have to put in the extra work, but I mean, if I'm being honest with myself, I didn't apply myself at all in high school, and I've always been kind of a terrible student in that regard. Just D's and F's across the board. When I did apply myself, I did very well in creative writing and writing and the arts. I've always had a gift with words and speaking and putting sentences together and stories and poems and all that type of stuff, so that came really easy to me. But when it came to projects and groups and being socially involved, that was very hard for me. I wouldn't call myself a social outcast in high school, but I was definitely that guy in the corner that you wanted to avoid. I had long black hair and always wore, as I lay dying, metal band t-shirts. That's just as an example. As I Lay Dying was one that I wore all the time. A Day to Remember. Just these really animated metal band t-shirts and long black hair down to my shoulders. It was an interesting time in my life. I don't know, and a lot of people would pen that as a phase that you go through learning who you are and who you want to be and who you don't want to be, what you like, what you don't like. I don't know if that was part of the adaptation of me, coming into my own and being involved with music and playing guitar, and I was still playing baseball at that time. I started playing baseball when I was, 6, 7 years old, in T-ball in Oklahoma when I moved down there. And I was always very, very competitive and athletic when it came to baseball. I held myself to a high standard, and when I moved back up to North Dakota when me and my dad moved up there, it was kind of a shock to me that baseball wasn't as competitive as I was used to. Excuse me, my dog decides to drink water during the podcast, so I'm not going to try to speak over him. Let's just let him do his thing here. Anyhow, where was I? Playing baseball for me was massive. I really enjoyed it, and as I grew past that, 14, 15 span, I started playing more guitar, paying more attention to that, playing video games. I'd always been, whether it was video games, guitar, or baseball or athletics, I'd always held myself to a high standard and wanted to be the best at it, and if I wasn't the best at it, I'd try to be the best at it. And long story short, I'd always try to be the hardest working person in the room at whatever it was that I had gotten myself into. And when it came to, high school came around, that's when a dark shroud kind of came over me. I was pretty lost. If I'm honest with myself, I had had friends that supported me, and a lot of people that I had met through baseball, and just general interaction throughout high school. I had relationships with girls, and that's a story for another time. But high school was a rough time for me. I went through, the angst and the anger that a lot of teenagers go through, and that was rough on me. And I transitioned from that and dropping out into getting my GED. I ended up getting my GED within the same year that I was supposed to graduate in 2010. I ended up finishing all of my courses and classes within 3 weeks, which I was really proud of, and my parents were too. So it was to come from being so far behind in high school and to drop out and to really, plow away at turning things around. They could have ended up far worse than they were. And not to say that I necessarily regret and would have gone back and finished things differently, but that's a prideful moment in my life. And being able to say that I did come out of that standpoint with some sort of piece of paper of accomplishment saying that I did this thing. Here, go out into the world. Let's go find a job. Workforce. Let's do it. And when it came to that, I entered the workforce. I think my first job was at McDonald's, and I hated that job. I absolutely hated working at McDonald's. I got good at it. I was probably the fastest fry gatherer that you could ever imagine yourself to accomplishing. Flipping patties using their machines. I was pretty quick at it. I got good at it, but within, a month and a half of washing dishes and putting fast food together on a line, and it was not good. We'll put it like that. I moved on from there to kind of bounce to another fast food place, KFC. It was a job-to-job situation, as you could imagine. I liked tasting things, not to get too literal with the fast food, but I wanted to figure out exactly what I didn't like and what I liked, and align myself in some way to where I could say that, I knew who I was and what I wanted to do. But much to my dismay, as time went on, I kind of started losing my identity, and I got really confused, and I started, placing my trust in the wrong people and spending my time, letting other people control what I did, what I wore, what I listened to, who I spent my time around with. Just not really having a grasp on really my identity and who I was. And as time went on, it kind of developed into a monster. As I came out of high school, 17, 18, 19 years old, of course, I got into the partying and the alcohol and the drugs and the sex and the smoking. I let that control and dictate really what I did on a day-to-day basis, whether it was finding a party to go to or drinking on my own at home. Relying on all of my darkness and things to drag me down. And that was, my centralization. That was my lifeblood. If I wasn't at a party getting drunk and hammered or high as a kite, it wasn't a good day. It wasn't a good weekend. And I would get depressed because of that. And then you see the cycle that I'm creating here. It wasn't a good life. And while I'm grateful to be alive and have gone through that and developed, the habits that I have and the discipline that I've grown to have now, and looking back over that, to add some context to that now, is that I really felt like the only reason why I made it through that is because someone was looking out for me. And being as strong in my spiritual life and my faith as I am now, that I have found God, and I do realize that Jesus is my savior, and that all of those times of dreariness and being somber and not knowing whether I was going to make it out of there alive, because at one point I was laying on a hospital bed with a doctor telling me, "You need to make a change in your life, or you are going to end up either dead or in jail." And after a couple of other series of visits, for anxiety and panic attacks and the adverse effects of overdosing on ecstasy, at a party one weekend and overindulging on alcohol 2 weeks later, I had hit rock bottom, and it was time for me to start making a change. Fast forward a little bit. I don't want to get, too wordy or too depressing with this, but this is my life. This is my story, and I want to give you guys some context of who I've become and why I do the things that I do, why I am the way that I am. And I'd like you guys to be able to take some insight from it and add some perspective to, taking care of yourself, loving yourself fruitfully and being fruitful and taking that love and applying it to others and leading by example and just not being an outright asshole. The world has its way of coming back around, and I think karma's a real thing. I think doing the right thing in the end will always take precedence over doing something out of ego or doing something for reasons that you shouldn't, kind of draw the curtain behind here, to please yourself or to please others. You can talk about wanting to serve yourself all you want, but you can lie to others, but you can never lie to yourself. And that's the point that I want to get across here is, no matter how far into a hole you dig yourself, there's always going to be a way that you can dig yourself out of that hole, whether it be changing your habits or your perspective. I've always kind of been a proponent and a believer of, if you cannot change a situation, or if you've kind of dug yourself into that hole and you realize, well, I'm here now, I might as well, I've dug my grave, I'm gonna lay in it, and whoever comes along, I'm also gonna drag them down with me. I'm here to tell you today that 10 times out of 10, if you take the initiative and you realize who you are and who you've become and realize that that isn't who you're supposed to be, there is always going to be a support system there that will take you out of that mindset. If you just search for help and accept the help, whether it be calling a suicide prevention hotline or reaching out to a mentor at your school, a coworker, family member, someone that you can trust, implanting all of your being into that rather than, agonizing over everything and letting yourself become that person that you really aren't supposed to be. God created you to be a greater person, and you are much more than your circumstances. And to let your circumstances control you and to come up with excuses and to complain, you are literally living in a time where you have so many tools and resources available to you, and there's no reason why you cannot create or work towards having a great life for yourself. And there's so many gifts that you have, that I have, that are just waiting to be shared with the world. And as soon as you realize that, the game, it changes. Life happens for you, not to you. And the sooner that you realize that and you capitalize on that, it's amazing. And to add even more context to that, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Last year I was baptized, and I've felt the conviction in my spirit and in my soul that he was knocking on the door, and I had always closed it all of my life. And I can think over times now where I'd close the door, slammed it in his face, and he just kept coming back and asking me if I would just accept him. And I apologize if I get emotional here, but there is a reason why I went through what I did and why I overcame it as well. And it was through surrender. It really was. And I'm not trying to preach, and I'm not trying to convert anybody by any means, but whatever you are going through, whatever your issue, whatever your circumstance, there is always a way to overcome if you accept and look and find a mentor, implant your, turn your worry into worship, whether that be relying on something that really makes you happy, whether that's music or whatever your thing is, music, talking in front of audiences, or making people laugh, drawing. If you have an animal, if you have a companion, a friend, friendship, whatever it is, rely on that and hone and focus on that. Use your scope of influence within. If you need to take time to balance yourself out and be upset and accept the moment for what it is. Don't shovel dirt over it. Don't dig yourself, not only dig yourself into the grave, but don't bury yourself alive once you're in the grave as well. I know it's hard to overcome those moments, and I've gone off on a tangent now that's gone on for a little bit too long, but I'm passionate about this stuff, guys. I've come to a moment in my life where I want to impact and influence others, and what I really want to accomplish with this podcast is to bring smiles to your faces ultimately, but to bring a smile to my own, and knowing that I'm at a point in my life where I'm able to speak out and be vulnerable like this with you guys. And it hasn't always been that way. I haven't always realized my strength and the lack of strength that I have and being able to surrender that. And I think self-awareness is important. Who you surround yourself with is very important. A quick shout out to Gary Vaynerchuk, who gave me the inspiration to even record this podcast in the first place. I had no idea that there was an app. The app that I'm recording this on right now is called Anchor. And with one press of a button, you can publish a podcast to every platform that you can imagine. And that's insane to me that it's a free app where you can put your voice out there, whatever your thing is, whether it be insightful inspiration or perspective or music or games, video gaming, skateboarding, if you like My Little Pony, whatever the case is, you can put your voice out there and draw a crowd to that subject. And that's just awesome to me that we live in a time where things are shifting. We have the internet and so many resources. To be able to put yourself out there. And in the same regard, it's kind of scary that if you don't have one of these smartphones, that you're basically invisible in the world. That's a scary thought too. That you're essentially shrouded if you don't have Facebook, Instagram, if you're not posting on Twitter, and having that expectation to blend in and have the mentality of the world, and having that psychosis of, society this, society that, and I need to be this person or I need to be that person. And if when you do consume on these apps, be careful, because they're platforms. That's what they are. Don't hate Facebook. Don't hate Instagram. Unfollow the people that influence you negatively, that bring you down, that don't, lift you up, feed your spirit. Don't rely on fitness influencers to tell you that you need to lose 10 pounds because they did it in this amount of time and they look so much better. And everybody has a different journey in life, and we're all traveling at different speeds. Everybody's traveling at different speeds. Some's faster than other, and it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. You don't need to get ahead of anybody. There was a saying that I saw, actually, funny enough, on Instagram, is, don't count other people's sprinkles while letting your own ice cream melt, and it's kind of a juvenile way to put it, but it's so true. Counting other people's blessings and not being thankful and grateful that you have all the blessings in the world right in front of you, and so much power and strength and capability to do so much with those gifts. And I'm not gonna drag this on too much longer, guys, but I will leave you with a couple of closing thoughts here. Ending my little introduction about myself and my abnormal life and where that name came from is, as you can imagine, abnormal, and the word gnarly. It's kind of an inside joke with myself, if you will. I lived a pretty interesting life so far, and I'd like to think that I'm pretty different. I have a different outlook, a different perspective than most people do, and most of my peers. And I don't really fit in with a lot of crowds that I go into, and I don't know if that's necessarily a good or a bad thing yet. But what I do know is that I was put on this earth for a purpose, and through influencing and using my scope of influence, if I can make even one of you listening to this right now take initiative to, you know, make your day a little bit better, or if you smiled at any point in this, or if you're saying, "Brock, that is exactly what I needed to hear right now," that's awesome to me. If I can impact one person in any small, insignificant, or it's actually pretty significant way, then that is awesome. I've accomplished more than I would ever have hoped to in my first episode with this. But drawing to a close, guys, I hope you have a better understanding of who I am, what I've been through, what I hope to accomplish. Tune in over the next couple weeks. I'm going to start experimenting with every other day podcast, or maybe every week, but I hope you enjoyed this. Like, comment, share, tell your friends about it. Content's going to keep coming, you guys, I promise. I'm gonna be diligent with this. I wanna build my own personal brand, and I'm gonna do it in a big way. So thanks for listening, guys. Take care.